Bava Basra, Perik Vav, Mishnah Base 6-2. More on sales of various things and quality control and expectations. So the Mishnah here says, HaMocher Peros L'Chavero. If a person sells Peros, produce here, as is typical in the Mishnah, produce is referring to grain, like think of, you know, he's buying wheat or something, barley. Hareza Mekabla Lav Rova Tinofas L'Sa'a. So it's expected that included in the kernels of wheat or barley, whatever it is going to be other kinds of debris. Tinofis literally means like filth, but it would mean all the above, everything from, you know, dirt to snails to bits and pieces of who knows what, because this is coming off the ground, right? So it's understood that there should be one rova, that's a rova of a kav, in every sa'a. There are six kav into one sa'a, so in other words, one part in 24, roughly 4% of the total of what was delivered in terms of you're getting wheat should be expected to be, can be expected to be waste, debris, garbage, tinofis. And that being the case, so as long as there's that much or less, so then the purchaser has no recourse and says that's part of the deal. Again, this depends on that time and place. Nowadays, certainly when you go to the store and you buy your, you know, your vacuum sealed, you know, barley corn, you're not expecting to find 24% of garbage in there. Obviously not. I mean, the mission, that was the case. So now, if there is more than this threshold, so then at that point, the purchaser can certainly say, this a fast one's been pulled on me. And in fact, Chazal are concerned that since that's not a normal thing to happen, it would suggest strongly that the merchant, the seller, intentionally added extra garbage, all that garbage to get mixed up in there. So essentially he's, you know, charging for the weight of the garbage, but not actually, you know, delivering any value. And that being the case, once it passes that threshold of one part in 24, so then the purchaser is within his rights to sift, you know, out all the garbage. Let's say, for example, you know, he bought, you know, buying 24 pounds of wheat, and he only got, you know, 22 pounds of wheat and 2 pounds of garbage. Then he could go back to the merchant and say, you owe me 2 more pounds, meaning once we've passed the threshold of 1.24, so then the full amount without any holdback, even that 4% holdback, must be delivered by the seller to the buyer. This is not a case of a mekach taos, you know, an erroneous purchase. If a person would have bought, let's say, you know, wheat and he got delivered barley, or if he bought grade A wheat and got delivered grade B wheat instead, he could return and say, this wasn't the deal. We agreed on grade A, we agreed on wheat, and you delivered barley, so no. But in this case, exactly what was agreed upon was delivered, just it was short in terms of quantity. So in other words, he was expecting 24 and he got 22, in which case he can demand to be made whole and the remaining two be delivered, or the overcharging be reimbursed. One of those two things has to happen. Okay, next, te'anim, figs. So figs are notoriously infested. So when you buy te'anim, figs, mekabla lav, esar, mutulaos, lamea. It's expected that 10 out of every 100, meaning 10% of the figs that you purchase, it's expected they should be wormy, infested with worms, and have to be thrown away. That's part of the deal. That's the expectations. Again, so if it'd be more than that, then the purchaser could say, listen, you sold me a dud batch, you have to make me whole, but less than that, not. 10 or less. A martef shel yayin, if you're buying the wine from someone's wine cellar, mekabla alav eser kosasos lamea. The purchaser understands that 10 out of 100, meaning 10% again, should be kosasos. Kosasos means that the wine is starting to spoil. That means it tastes okay, but there's a smell, like a vinegary smell. So it hasn't turned yet, but it's on the way to turning. Okay, so the Gemara speaks this out a little further. It says, listen, wine in the time of the Mishnah was used for two purposes. One is drinking, and one is actually for cooking. Now, ironically, counter to how we have it today, the higher quality wine was for cooking in the time of the Mishnah, because the point was you're using it to make a good taste, and therefore you put a little bit in each dish, and it needs to last for an extended period of time. So if you're drinking it, so then, you know, you get the wine, you drink it, you know, in a day or two, and so even if it was going to be spoiling, you drink it before it finishes spoiling, and that's that. If you're using it for cooking, the mikpah, so then it's already got to be a higher grade and last longer because it's going to be used slowly over a longer period of time. And of course, if it smells, what's the point of adding a flavorant wine to make your dish taste good if it already tastes and smells bad? No. So the case for Mishnah is that the purchaser never specified he wants wine for cooking. He said generic wine, and therefore the seller could say, listen, I sold you wine, kind of like our previous Mishnah, for drinking, not for cooking, and therefore, you know, there's no reason why it was perfectly fine to drink if you'd have drank it promptly. No one said you were expecting to keep it for a long time. And the Mishnah will go on later on, Bez Hashem shortly, we'll see in the next Mishnah, how long is a long time to be expected for the wine to last. Now, The Mishnah also emphasizes here that he agreed to martef shel yayin, a particular wine storage, like a wine cellar, where he's storing a particular group of wine. That means the purchaser agreed to get the wine from this particular cellar. So the case is specifically that if they agreed it's the wine from this particular cellar, and the purchaser didn't specify specifically that he was buying wine for cooking, so then the accepted amount is 10 out of 100, 10%, should be starting to get vinegary, but not yet vinegary. I mean, they're fine to drink, but they don't taste or smell as great, and they're not appropriate for cooking because they won't last long. If it had been that the seller said, I'm selling you, all the jars, bottles, jugs, whatever it is, barrels inside this wine cellar, and the purchaser agreed, then even if they turned to vinegar altogether, the deal would be done because they agree on that particular wine cellar, so you can't look at 10%. On the flip side, if the buyer says, I need wine for cooking, that means he needs high-grade, long-lasting, good-smelling wine, so then he can say, listen, I needed 10 barrels or 100 barrels, and I need all of them to be for cooking, like I told you, and therefore any of those barrels which were costless could be returned by the purchaser for reimbursement or replacement. Okay, the last part of the Mishnah is talking about kankanim. These are the actual earthenware jugs for storing liquids. So kankanim basharon. If you're purchasing jugs that come from the Sharon region, actually it's machlokas rishonim, if Sharon refers to any of the plains of Israel or a specific plain in Israel. But the point is that the clay of the Sharon region is inferior, and it makes inferior earthenware vessels. So you have to understand, if you're buying from the Sharon region earthenware manufactured vessels, they're not going to be so great. And makabla love eser pitasios lamea. You have to expect that 10 out of 100 are going to be not the greatest. Now, what does it mean, pitasios, not the greatest? First of all, they look fine. That's important. They look fine. And beyond looking fine, they actually also, they're not cracked or leaking, because that would be non-functional. Who wants a barrel that's leaking? And that would, of course, be not okay, it would be returned. But if it hasn't been fired in the kiln properly, so it'll be absorbent, even if it's, they've attempted to glaze it on the inside, if it's not done exactly right, so then it will absorb some of the, let's say, wine you're storing in it. And that's less than ideal, of course. You'll be losing slowly over time. So those are the potassios that weren't fired properly, and understand that if you're buying from the Sharon region, it's to be expected that about 10% of them aren't fired great. They're a little bit absorbent, so they're not really grade A containers, but they're functionally and also aesthetically acceptable.